It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it's your public radio station. Temperatures have been rising rapidly. We have 32 degrees here at the station now, and 28 out at the airport, where they are reporting calm winds. Snow is likely today after 3 p.m. Mostly cloudy skies today with a high near 34. West winds to 20, turning to the east this afternoon. Could gust as high as 30. For tonight, snow before midnight, then rain and snow between midnight and 3, then a chance of rain after 3 a.m. We're talking about maybe 2 inches of snow tonight. Coming up on the Midday Report, what's a nice kind of fishing? Ice kind of fishing. Slight uptick in local cases of COVID here. And Chignik fishermen are finally expecting to get relief funds 3.5 years later.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The job market may be growing, but people's buying power isn't. Today, the Labor Department announced that inflation in January surged 7.5% compared to a year earlier. It's the biggest annual increase since the start of the Reagan administration. Traveling with President Biden in Virginia today, NPR's Asma Khalid reports on the Democrats' reaction to the inflation report days after he celebrated another report that showed the U.S. economy gained a higher-than-expected 467,000 jobs.
The president is highlighting the work he says the White House is doing to lower prescription drug costs. Even though his so-called Build Back Better agenda seems stuck in the Senate, Biden is focusing on its potential to reduce costs for families rather than the immediate impact of inflation. The president does acknowledge, though, that food and gas prices are up.
I'm going to work like the devil to bring gas prices down, which I'm going to work in to make sure that we keep strengthening the supply chain to bring the cost of energy and everything else and the goods that come to America down.
Biden insists there's other ways to raise people's standards of living by cutting the cost of health care and child care. Asma Khalid, NPR News, Culpeper, Virginia.
Another kind of vaccine appears to be effective for protecting adolescents against COVID-19. NPR's Rob Stein has details.
The vaccine is made by a Maryland company called Novavax. Instead of injecting people with genetic material from the virus, the Novavax vaccine uses a tiny piece of the virus itself, the spike protein the virus uses to infect cells. The company has already asked the Food and Drug Administration to authorize the vaccine for adults. Now, the company says a study involving more than 2,000 volunteers shows that the vaccine is also highly effective at safely protecting those ages 12 to 17 against the Delta variant. In addition, the company says lab studies indicate the vaccine also protects against the Omicron variant. So the company is planning to ask for authorization for that age group next. Rob Stein, NPR News.
Days after meeting with President Biden, German Chancellor Olaf Scholz is warning Russia of serious economic and political consequences if the Kremlin does not pull back its forces from Ukraine's border. But Germany's role is complicated. It risks jeopardizing its gas pipeline deal with Russia. President Biden had said that the project would be halted if Russia invades its neighbor. NPR's Jackie Northam speaks to why Germans may not like the U.S.'s position.
A large part of the population does back this. The last government under Chancellor Angela Merkel was a huge proponent for the pipeline. And the current government under Chancellor Olaf Scholz doesn't appear wholeheartedly to back the project. There are indications that Germany really doesn't like the U.S. dictating what it should and should not be doing about Nord Stream 2.
That's NPR's Jackie Northam reporting. You're listening to NPR News.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
Kodiak Island is well known for its world-class salmon fishing, its commercial fishing economy, and now even its crayfish. But one type of fishing goes a bit more under the radar and under several inches of ice. KMXT's Dylan Simard brings us this update on Kodiak's ice fishing season.
Technically, the ice fishing season in Kodiak doesn't have an open or close date, but as local ice fishermen will tell you, it started early this year. There was an unusually intense and prolonged cold snap in November. That led to ice forming earlier and to a greater depth than usual, which is perfect for ice fishing. What wasn't perfect were the cold winds blowing hard over the island in November and December. Brett Olson has been ice fishing in Kodiak for over 20 years. He's the local fishing specialist at Big Rays, which sells outdoor gear on the island. He bought an ice fishing shack this year and learned his lesson from past experience.
Kodiak, though, we're really windy, so you got to make sure that thing is anchored down good, because the year before last, I actually had I cut the floor out of a tent and tried to use that. The wind kicked up and took that tent, and the last I saw it was flying out by the airport by towards Walmart, so I don't know.
Fishermen are looking for rainbow trout. They're stocked annually in 17 different lakes around the Kodiak Road system by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Tyler Paulum is the Kodiak area sport fish biologist for Fish and Game. He says he's hearing from local ice fishermen that the fishing is good this year, but he cautions people to be very careful about ice conditions.
We always just caution folks about the ice, even when we've had a good cold snap and there's solid ice in most places. You know, almost all of our lakes have springs or natural places that have soft spots or open water any time of the year.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game allows for ice fishing with regular sport fishing licenses. Bag limits for stocked lakes around Kodiak are typically 10 rainbow trout per day, with only one allowed to be longer than 20 inches. But anyone interested should check the regulations before they go. As for Brett Olson, he says he'll be heading out on the ice as soon as he gets off of work. For KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Dylan Simard.
There's been another uptick in local cases of COVID-19. Kodiak's Emergency Operations Center announced 63 new cases of the virus since its last update on Monday. That means there are currently 167 cases classified as active in the borough. The EOC also reported one hospitalization in its latest data. It reported no hospitalizations on Monday. The Kodiak Daily Mirror reports that four finalists have been selected for a downtown art installation that will be unveiled in May. Eight local organizations selected the finalists for the Kodiak Asphalt Art Project, which will transform the intersection near the Visitor Center parking lot. The finalists include Ellen McCarty and Bruce Nelson. Bonnie Dillard and Marina Thomas were chosen as a pair. Natasha Pistas and Brianna Gibbs Cooper were also selected as a team. The Kodiak Arts Council will announce which artist will design the installation in March. Kodiak was one of 26 cities in the United States to receive a grant from Bloomberg Philanthropies Asphalt Initiative for the project. A Coast Guard petty officer formerly stationed in Kodiak was convicted last week of involuntary manslaughter for the death of her 5-month-old daughter, which occurred on the island in April of 2020. According to the Washington Post, Katie Richard was sentenced on Tuesday to 6 years in prison after a month-long trial. The Alaska State Medical Examiner's Office said the infant's death was caused from asphyxia. The 8-person jury found it insufficient evidence to convict Richard on first-degree murder charges. The Post reports it was the first Coast Guard murder trial in over a decade, and that Richard plans to appeal her conviction. Alaska's only public psychiatric hospital failed to meet federal requirements for evaluating patients and failed to investigate complaints about workplace harassment in 2020. That's according to a report from the Alaska Ombudsman released on Tuesday. The investigation stemmed from an anonymous complaint about conditions at the Alaska Psychiatric Institute. The report also found persistent understaffing, despite the hospital hiring about 25% more employees since 2019. And it says the hospital did not provide active treatment to all patients or consistently create and update treatment plans. In one instance, the report says patients watched episodes of the courtroom drama Law and Order to learn about criminal proceedings. That was instead of getting rehabilitative programming. The State Department of Health and Social Services, which oversees the hospital, wrote in an emailed statement that the report looked at problems in 2020 and didn't account for progress made over the last year. Governor Mike Dunleavy said in his State of the State address earlier this year that his administration had, quote, turned that situation around, end quote. He pointed out that managers had more than doubled the number of occupied beds at the hospital since he took office. State Ombudsman Kate Burkhart wrote the report that detailed numerous issues at the hospital. She says it's based on record reviews and interviews with staff. She says the health department has agreed to implement some of the recommendations she made. The department, however, made similar assurances in 2019 in response to another investigation by the ombudsman that also found major problems.
We have made recommendations about that. In the past, the department has accepted some of those and committed to implement them. Turns out they weren't all implemented, so we re-recommended them.
The report says the hospital's CEO, Scott York, provided inaccurate information to investigators in several instances. For example, York denied that he was aware of complaints about gender and racial harassment and bullying. The ombudsman found that York and others, including the deputy director of the health department, were aware of those complaints but didn't take, quote, meaningful action, close quote, to fix them. Still, Burkhart says the report didn't find any evidence that the staff had harmed patients, something it did find in the 2019 report.
There are folks that get up every morning to go to work at API to provide the best care they can. This is an issue of management decisions and allocation of clinical resources when it comes to treatment planning and access to active treatment.
Burkhart says her office will continue to work with the hospital and the health department to improve services. Chignik fishermen are finally expecting relief funds in the coming weeks, 3.5 years after Chignik's sockeye run collapsed in 2018. But after years of little to no income from fishing, those funds may come too late for fishermen to continue in Chignik. Entities like the Chignik Intertribal Coalition are working to find alternative ways forward. KDLG's Izzy Ross has this report.
A few boats bob gently in the turquoise water of Chignik Bay's harbor. It's July 2021. Alois Kopen is in the small office overlooking the harbor. He fished in Chignik for decades. Now he's the harbor master in the summer.
And as you can see now, we got hardly nobody in here. Everybody's, you know, gone tendering or went to other areas to fish, or some of them went broke.
3.5 years after the Chignik sockeye salmon run failed, the Pacific States Marine Fisheries Commission is distributing $10 million in disaster funds to Chignik fishermen, processors, communities, and research on the fishery. In the next few weeks, relief checks should be going out to fishermen. The minimum payment is $40,000. But that assistance may be too late to keep fishermen coming back to the fishery or to make up for what the local economy lost in 2018. George Anderson lives in Chignik Lagoon. He's the president of the Chignik Intertribal Coalition and has fished commercially his entire life. He says any financial assistance will help.
But it is a kind of a small band-aid on a bigger wound that was opened 4 years ago. For a lot of people, they've moved on to other fisheries, had to invest, move into tendering. You know, does a check 4 years later really recuperate your losses? For everybody, it's going to be different.
On top of that, one of just two processors that buy Chignik fish is pulling out of the fishery. Over the weekend, OBI Seafoods informed fishermen that it would not tender in Chignik this summer. That means Trident Seafoods will be the only processor for the fishery, and those who fished for OBI will have to find another market. Anderson says that's one more casualty of the collapsed run.
Fish is everything for that region, and without it, things just start going away.
And have you seen this storm?
I haven't.
Gene Carlson, a fisherman from Chignik Bay, says certain parts of the community have been slowly shrinking for years. On a drive around town, we stop at the only store, owned by Trident and operated seasonally.
And they're only open from May 15 till August, I think.
In the winter, there's no store, but the community hall orders groceries. People also fly in groceries, and once a month, a barge delivers them as well.
Oh, we're too late.
Oh, no!
Close that four. I didn't realize that. Sorry.
Across town and up a steep hill, the sun streams through the large windows of Chignik Bay's city office.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to meet you.
The only person there is Mayor Robert Carpenter, sitting at a desk. Carpenter says the city is still struggling to pay its bills.
This is not good. And looking for answers of how we survive, because the town itself, we basically survive off fish revenue. And that's $300,000 to $400,000 a year.
Revenue from fish tax for the city and the borough has shrunk drastically. Around 90 people live here year-round. Carpenter says the population used to balloon in the summer to hundreds more people as cannery workers and fishermen came to tap the sockeye run. But the past few years have been tough. The school has just enough students to stay open for now. There are 6 K-12 students, 1 preschooler, and 1 teacher.
We can't keep people employed. We've got reduced hours on just about everything for everybody. I myself only claim like 3 hours a day working here in the office. Mayor position is unpaid. So it's just like, I get a couple hours, but it's just like, can't survive off that.
Anderson, the president of the Chignik Intertribal Coalition, says the coalition is working with the Ivanoff Bay tribe to interview people in each community through a tribal resiliency grant from the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
Finding out their needs and their priorities and, you know, see if there's ways to diversify, maybe get into mariculture or tap into the blue economy somehow. You know, we have a lot of talented people and we have a lot of gear in the area.
He says as long as the runs are low, it is important for communities to find a way for people to earn a living by investing in infrastructure and diversification.
Bottom line is people generally want to earn their own keep. They don't want to keep having fisheries disaster and wait for a check to show up from the government.
Disaster funds will help in the short term, Anderson says, but the Chignik communities may have to look beyond the fishery to find a way forward. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
COVID-19 cases in Alaska are decreasing as the Omicron wave tapers off throughout the country. Weekly totals in Alaska dropped from 14,000 last week to 9,000 this week. That's a 36% decrease in reported cases. Alaska's chief medical officer, Dr. Ann Zink, notes that even though case numbers are declining, Alaska still has one of the highest case rates in the country. And while that means more people have some immunity, she says people who haven't received a booster shot are 3 times more likely to have symptoms if they test positive.
More of the population has some degree of protection, either being vaccinated and ideally boosted or having previously had COVID-19. And by far, your best protection is if you are boosted, if you are eligible against the disease.
The state's Department of Health reported about 2,200 cases for Monday and Tuesday. The department reported 21 deaths yesterday, 2 of which are from the last week. Zink says the decline in cases also means COVID treatments are more widely available. Previously, certain oral, antiviral, and monoclonal antibody treatments were only recommended for those who were immunocompromised, pregnant, or 65 or older with risk factors. Now there's enough for other patients who are likely to be hospitalized if they test positive.
So really anyone 50 and older with underlying risk factors, anyone 75 and older, regardless of risk factors, as well as those who are pregnant and those who are immunocompromised and unlikely to mount a good response to a vaccine.
The decline in cases and increase in available treatments prompted Juneau officials on Wednesday to lower that city's risk level. That means the city will no longer require masking for vaccinated people in indoor spaces and crowded outdoor events. Statewide, 29 adult ICU beds were available as of yesterday. 8 of them are in Anchorage and 7 are in Southeast Alaska.
Insight Daily Radio. The Violence Project, How to Stop a Mass Shooting Epidemic, is a groundbreaking new book that examines the phenomenon of mass shootings in America and an urgent call to implement evidence-based strategies to stop these tragedies. Frustrated by reactionary policy conversations, the authors, special investigator and psychologist Jill Peterson and sociologist James Densley, built The Violence Project, the first comprehensive database of mass shooters to establish the root causes of mass shootings and figure out how to stop them. We spoke with them about this most important book.
When we talk to people who knew perpetrators of mass shootings, whether it was parents or friends or colleagues, teachers, what we heard time and time again is there was a shift in their behavior. Something was off, something was different, and people around them were noticing. Now, of course, people weren't thinking it was going to be a mass shooting, but there was a change in their behavior, a marked change, whether that means they're isolating more or they're abusive or they're drinking more or they're not showing up to work. Something shifted. So we describe that shift as a crisis point.
And the crisis is such that you get to that point where you've been asking yourself, what is wrong with me? And then there's like a switch that changes, and it goes from being what is wrong with me to what is wrong with them. And you see that there's somebody to blame. And once that switch is made, once that crisis point is reached and that switch is made, that's when the violence follows. And we see that very, very common in the lives of mass shooters.
That's special investigator and psychologist Jill Peterson and sociologist James Densley, the authors of The Violence Project, How to Stop a Mass Shooting Epidemic, which has just been released.
Insight Daily Radio.
A housing needs assessment survey is coming soon to Kodiak. Help your community by participating in the survey, which may come by mail or a phone call. Responses are anonymous and will be incorporated into a housing needs assessment document that will be available to the public. Those who complete the survey will be entered in a prize drawing happening each week in February. This message is sponsored by Kodiak Island Housing Authority.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon. Here is your Island Messenger for Thursday. It is the 10th day of February, the year 2022. The sun rose today at 8:51. It will set again at 5:57. That will give us 9 hours and 6 minutes of daylight, a gain of 4 minutes and 43 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 48. That was set in 1929. And our record low was -1, set in 1984. Currently up to 29 degrees out at the airport right now under overcast skies with southerly winds to 3 miles per hour. The Weather Service says snow is likely after 3 p.m. with mostly cloudy skies today. West winds to 20, turning to the east this afternoon. Good gust to 30. Snow before midnight tonight too, turning to rain and snow after midnight. We're looking at possibly 1 to 2 inches of snow accumulation tonight. East winds to 25, decreasing to 20 after midnight, but could gust as high as 40 tonight. For tomorrow, just a 40% chance of rain, mainly after 3 p.m. Mostly cloudy skies tomorrow with a high way up near 38. East wind to 10, turning to the south tomorrow afternoon. And rain is likely before midnight tomorrow night. It's mostly cloudy skies overnight tomorrow. Southerly winds to 15, gusting to 25. Looking at our local tides, we have a low tide coming up here on the east side at 4:27 this afternoon. That will be a 1.7-foot tide. Our next high tide will be before midnight. That will be at 11:27 p.m. and be 5.2 feet. Our low tide for the middle of the night here on the east side will be at 3:08 a.m. and be 4.3 feet. And our high tide for the east side tomorrow morning will be at 9:43 a.m. and be 7.7 feet. Over on the west side, you have a low tide coming up at 4:41 p.m. That will be a 2.7-foot tide in Larson Bay. That'll be followed by a high tide at 11:11. That'll be an 8.5-foot tide tonight. Your low tide for the wee hours of the morning will be at 4:14 a.m. and be 6.5 feet. And your high tide for Larson Bay tomorrow morning will be at 10:10 a.m. and be 11.6 feet. Mariners, be aware, here's your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side offshore. Gale warning through tonight. For today, south of Dangerous Cape, southeast 20, becoming east 40 this afternoon. For north of Dangerous Cape, south 15, becoming east 30 in the afternoon, with seas to 12 feet. For tonight, east 40, becoming south 20 after midnight. North of Dangerous Cape, east 40, becoming northeast 25 late. Seas to 15 feet tonight on our east side. And for tomorrow, south winds to 20, seas remaining at 12 feet. For the Shilikof Strait, storm warning tonight with a variable 15 becoming northeast 30 late this afternoon. Seas building to 8 feet late this afternoon. For tonight, northeast 50 should come down to 40 after midnight, seas to 15 feet. And for tomorrow in the Shilikof, northeast 30 becoming variable 15 tomorrow afternoon, seas 12 feet coming down to 6 feet tomorrow afternoon. Friday night, south winds to 30, seas to 10 feet in the Shilikof. Kodiak City Council will be holding a regular council meeting tonight. That meeting will begin at 7:30 p.m. Elected officials will be attending virtually and or in person. Public participation is virtual only. Public members are encouraged to tune in right here at KMXT on 100.1 FM. The call-in number for public comments is 486-8610. The meeting will also be live streamed, and you can watch that live stream by going to the City of Kodiak website, where you can also find the packet. Senior citizens of Kodiak are in need of paper bags again. You can drop them off at the center from noon to one daily. The doors of the center are still locked, so if you come before or after the posted hours, give them a call and they'll meet you at the door. Also tonight, the Assembly will be having a work session. That's happening at 6:30 p.m. and will be conducted virtually. To watch it live, go to the borough website. That is at www.kodiakak.us. Included on the agenda tonight, National Renewable Energy Laboratory Waste-to-Energy Report. Also, nonprofit funding discussion, meeting in-person attendance versus Zoom attendance, and an ordinance that would amend the Kodiak Island Borough personnel rules and regulations, and more. Well, coming up this Saturday, it's the famous Kodiak Kingfisher's Fish Wrap Dinner. Only $15 gets you a delicious whitefish wrap, coleslaw, chips, and cookies. That's happening this Saturday between 4:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. at the Elks Lodge. Superintendent Candidate Community Forum will be happening soon. The Association of Alaska School Boards will host and facilitate a Superintendent Candidate Forum on Monday, February 14th. That's happening from 8 to 8:30 p.m. in the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium. The forum will also be available to watch online on the school district's website. That's at www.kibsd.org. The board has asked AASB to solicit questions prior to the forum to be asked of each of the three candidates. No questions will be entertained from the floor, so community members may participate in a survey to select the topics they are most interested in hearing responses to and to submit a question they would like asked. That survey link is available on the school district's website, and the survey will close at midnight on Friday. The Kodiak Fish and Game Advisory Committee will be holding a public meeting in the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Conference Room at 351 Research Court, that's over on Near Island, next Tuesday, February 15th at 5:30 p.m. You can join the teleconference by dialing 1-800-504-8071, and your access code is 842-5142. For more information, contact Taryn at 907-842-5142. The Kodiak Public Broadcasting Board of Directors will be holding their next regular monthly meeting next Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. via Zoom. If you'd like to sit in on the meeting, please call the station at 486-3181, or you can send an email requesting access to gm@kmxt.org, and a link will be provided to you before the meeting. Well, the public library remains closed to the public through the month of February due to staff shortages and active COVID-19 cases in the community. Curbside service and home delivery remain available. That was between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. You just need to go to their online catalog, which you can find on the library's website. Faxes or copies can still be requested as well. Just give them a call at 486-8686. For questions about any of this. Also, free classes are being offered at the college, including math, reading and writing, alternative GED diploma topic classes. Give them a call at 907 486 1-800-273-8443 for more information.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.